You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety from Lighthouse Hockey and the Fans First Sports Network. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me on this Sunday evening via Zencaster is my friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, they had us going on Saturday. They had us clinched again. Kind of maybe just barely thinking that they might make something happen. And then on Sunday, they just took it all away. Once again, the 2023-24 New York Islanders showed up once again, getting shut out by the New Jersey Devils at home in a game in which they never once were actually in. And so they did snap their six-game losing streak, but they've lost 7 of 8 since their six-game winning streak to put them back in the playoffs. I feel like a fool for kind of having a little bit of hope on Saturday after their 6-3 win over the Winnipeg Jets, but ultimately, this team remains who they are, just a very disjointed, disinterested, disorganized, now virally comedic team that is going to end up out of the playoffs due to an unforeseen turn of events that really kind of came about in a quick way. How are you feeling now? This is just an hour or so after that game against the Devils ended, but what are your feelings right now? I'm sure they're not going to be particularly happy.
No, I think now that they lost to this game against the Devils, that I'm going to look back on that win against the Winnipeg Jets. And I think that in a season full of results that make you sick to think about, whether it's the loss to the Sharks where they blew the 3-goal lead in the third period. By the way, how nice was it be to come back from a 3-goal deficit in a game or a 2-goal deficit in a game and, you know, win some hockey games? Because I think the Islanders, Brendan Burks said, have done it once.
Yeah. I wouldn't know what season. That feeling is like. Yeah.
Yeah. It could be that one. Basically any of the games during that West Coast swing, the Pacific Northwest swing where they were doing that. They were just blowing leads every night.
Right.
You know, that was that Canucks game, the Kraken game. Couple, like a week before that was the Hurricanes and the Red Wings. There was that game against the Bruins that they blew a bunch of different leads. The Avalanche. You can pick so many games. You can pick the 4-3 overtime loss to the Senators, the outdoor game to the Rangers. But I really think that that win against the Jets is the one that's going to make me is the one that sits with me the worst. It makes me feel the sickest, because I think it was everything that this team this season has been about, which is, yeah, we'll show up. We'll rope you back in. We'll get you excited. You'll start texting your friends. If we can just do this tomorrow, maybe this result breaks our way. The Predators beat the Red Wings in regulation, which happens. We're right back in it. And it's like they know that, and they want you to do it, and they want you to try to kick the football, and then they just pull it away from you. And it's now happened so many times this season. And we've talked about this all year long. Like they play, the Islanders play like assholes, but we are the assholes here. We are the losers who stuck it out, kept believing in this team despite glaring red signs all season long. Because when they would put something together, they'd show a little chutzpah for the bare minimum amount of time, mind you. Like it would have. We're not talking about like a month long stretch where they just were racking up points.
No, they for half the season, that. They would.
Yeah, right. They show up for the bare minimum. They rope you back in, and then they make you feel like an idiot so quickly thereafter. So quickly. We're not even 2 weeks. We are now 2 weeks from that 6-1 win against the Anaheim Ducks. And they've won one game since then. They've allowed the Capitals to pass them, the Red Wings to pass them, the Flyers to basically run away from them. And had they just followed up a performance yesterday with another decent one today, the tone of this podcast is completely different. But they couldn't even do that. They couldn't beat a team that lost to the Ottawa Senators last night and has been basically playing out the string since the middle of February on home ice. They couldn't do that in another must-win game. So, yeah, they are who everybody else says they are, this team. So,
yeah,
it's, you know, I get that they're mathematically still in it, and I just said how we're losers for still believing. I don't believe, but I'm gonna, you know, obviously keep watching until they're mathematically eliminated, because October is very far away.
True.
And yeah, I've been listening to this podcast, that Rest Is History podcast about the Titanic, and I am clearly one of those. I'm not cool enough to be one of the people playing the music on the deck. But I know I'm going down with the ship, and I'm just going to watch the music, because this is pathetic stuff from the Islanders. And it's been a season of rock bottoms, and I think that maybe we've hit the rockiest bottom of bottoms. But there's been so many of them. So how can we be sure?
Well, that was going to be my original opening for this show. If they won today against the Devils, I was going to say, just when you think that they've reached the bottom, they find a new bottom, but then they somehow manage to rise up just enough above water to remind you that they're there and give you enough hope to think that they can kind of swim out of it. But of course they don't. We're going to dive into the game against the Jets, the game against the Devils, and the two games that they played last week against the Hurricanes and Red Wings in a minute. Reminder that we are on Patreon at patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety. Plans start as low as $2 a month, and you get ad-free episodes, tons of bonus content like we're going to have this week, written posts, and a whole lot more. So sign up today, patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety. We're also going to have a lot of information about our live event at the Offside Tavern this coming Saturday, so stay tuned for the entire episode to hear more about that. But like you said, this has been a season of rock bottoms, and they just keep sinking lower and lower. And I don't quite know how to reconcile all of this. Like, it's really demoralizing and depressing. It's just like, I don't know. I should might as well just start with this. Like, I have a theory that this is all mental. This isn't to denigrate people with actual mental problems, but I think a lot of the Islanders' problems are mental. There's something about these guys that prevents them from rising to the occasion. And once again, Barry Trotz, I've been reading a lot of the Tao of Trotz quotes that I compiled throughout Barry's time with the Islanders. And I know that that's probably unfair to Patrick Waugh and not good for my own mental health. But like, he talked about at one point, well, he used to say getting big in big moments. That was what he wanted the team to do. And for a long time, they did that. These guys have not done that for a very long time. But also, he talked about accountability and how accountability, everybody talks about being, you know, the coach or the management or the ownership or whatever. But really, the accountability is amongst players. And the players looking at each other and being like, I did my job. Did you do yours? And everybody doing their job to the best of the ability so that the next team out, the next line out, can do their job best, and they just keep the whole thing rolling. And there were times during that stretch where we saw that. That team is dead. They are dead, and they ain't coming back. And people like me need to understand that, because this team is a far cry from that. And I'm just frankly sick of watching them. Like, I don't know about you. I'm just sick to death of watching these guys do the same thing over and over again. And I'm going to illustrate this by asking you a question. Do you remember when the Islanders used to get two-on-ones, and it was usually J.G. Pageau and Simon Holmstrom? Do you remember when they used to get that?
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
I do.
When was the last time they did that? Because I'm pretty sure it was November.
Yeah.
When was the last two-on-one the Islanders had? When was the last breakaway they had? I think Matt Barzal had one maybe a month ago. Like, they don't do it anymore. They just don't. Like, what are we doing out here? I would say they're going through the motions, but I don't even know what these motions are. And again, you know, we might as well start today's game against the Devils. Three guys crash into each other. They're already down 1-0 because they had to kill a 5-on-3 because who the fuck knows what was going on at the end of that first period. And they three guys, it was Dobson, Palmieri, and somebody else, end up crashing into one another. It's a 2-on-1 for the Devils, and Jack Hughes just scores like it's nothing. And that's what made me think. I remember when the Islanders used to get 2-on-1s. And I don't remember the last time I saw one. And I just, the game really didn't get any better. They ended up losing 4-0. The Devils' first shutout of the season. I shit you not. In game 72 by Kaapo Kähkönen, who wasn't even a Devil until 2 weeks ago, gets the team's first shutout of the season. And it just, regardless of being down 2-0 at the point or playing well, not playing, who cares? All I could think of was, I remember a time when the Islanders used to get 2-on-1s. And a lot of them. It used to be Eberle and Barzal, or you know, Nelson and Eberle, or whoever. Those days are dead. They're gone. They don't. Yep. They just don't anymore. They're just not interested. I don't understand. And so, like, that right there is just endemic of how this team plays. They can't break their puck into the zone. They can't get out of their own zone clean. Their power play is garbage. Their penalty kill just straight up disappeared this season. We don't know where it went. But we do. The only thing we know is that Dougie Hooda is in charge of the penalty kill. Well, then why is Dougie Hooda still here? Like, no offense, Doug Hooda. Sure, he's a nice guy. Was a weird Islander. Maybe we'll do an episode on him one day. This is the worst penalty kill we've seen in the National Hockey League in quite so many years. So I'm just tired of watching these guys play. Like, are you tired of watching these guys play, doing the same things over and over again? Because God knows, I can't take it anymore. I just can't.
I know. Yeah, I'm tired of I'm like mad at myself for admitting after a game like this that I hate them and I don't want to watch them anymore. And then the next day, you start to get time heals all wounds. And as you get closer to the next game, you start doing the scoreboard math and whatever. And you convince yourself this time it'll be different. And maybe the first period, it looks like it's going to be different. And then you have to remind yourself, wait a minute, why am I thinking that? The first period is always good with this team. That's part of this entire problem, is that of them roping you in, is they've generally played a really good first period all season. Right. And then the second period comes and they shoot themselves in the foot. Like it's, you could take every cliche you want from like 1960s NFL footage or baseball, when they describe bad teams or teams losing the big games, and you could apply every single one of them to this team. I'm sick of it, but the problem too is that the guys who are making these, I think what you said about it being a mental issue more than anything is 100% true, because what's it got to be like to be Matt Barzell or
Bo Horvat,
or whoever, and you're watching, you talked about accountability, you're watching Casey Cizikas take a really dumb penalty at the end of the first period, what, like just so needless, and you can say, oh, Jack Hughes like dove or grabbed a stick or whatever you want to say, but there was no reason for him to do that. Especially with the Islanders had just killed off like a chunk of a 5-on-3.
Right.
He's about to spring Bo Horvat on a breakaway, and he takes a penalty that just completely sucks the air out. The Devils score. They score again because of that crazy collision. And then what's it got to be like to watch your captain, Anders Lee, who's just been just terrible, actively playing. You know, we always joke about, you know, Sam Bolduc played for the Montreal Canadiens tonight against the New York Islanders. Anders Lee is just, he's been, if you're a Washington Capitol fan or you're a Detroit Red Wings fan or Philadelphia Flyers fan, you might have to give whatever the team MVP, if you guys, whatever one of you is make the playoffs, it might go to Anders Lee. Like, I don't care about Travis Konechny. I'm pretty sure Anders Lee is helping your team right now more than any of the players on it. Right. He loses a board battle. His like bread and butter has become just his biggest weakness now. He loses a board battle to Simone Nemitz and Jack Hughes. Come on, leads to the third goal. And then he goes and takes a really bad kneeing penalty, like gets kicked out of a game, probably going to get suspended. But to the point where people are like, I hope he gets suspended, because not only does he come out of the lineup, but then maybe they call up, you know, one of the kids from Bridgeport. Yeah. And frankly, like, you could say that that's poor form or whatever. I don't care. Like, go for it. He made a bonehead play. He's been bad all season. And where's the accountability? Like, there's not it. That's it's crazy that this team is now the polar. It's not that this team isn't the 2019 to 2021 Islanders. It's that they're the polar opposite of them. Right. That's what's so crazy here. That they've gone so far in the other direction that they are went from being the most trustworthy team in uncomfortable big pressure situations to the least trustworthy in situations that frankly don't even have pressure on them.
I was going to say in no pressure situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in any situation you can't trust them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is they've created themselves quite a mess here, and it's as we keep saying, like it's taking a lot to try not to let it taint the entire kind of era, the post the Lou Lamoriello era, I guess we can call it now, that, like, you know, you're trying not to let the recency bias of watching Anders Lee just completely wilt this season, ruin what had been a lot of fun and a great ride for a lot of us in the years prior. But it's getting more and more difficult with every passing game, and there's not a shred of accountability on this team right now, and it's pathetic. And you know what, like they did it to, like, the you could say that that those players crashing into each other was just bad luck, or the refs maybe calling that cross check on penalty on Clutterbuck, you know, that's a bad call, or whatever, however you want to look at. Sure, you can say the Islanders have had a poor rub of the luck for the season. Doesn't matter. Like they did it to themselves. There's no, they're hockey gods. they didn't do us any favors because we didn't deserve any of them. Like, so. Right.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing I was thinking of too, was like, you can complain you have no luck, but the reality is that this team doesn't deserve luck, and it is built in such a way that it doesn't have any breakout stars. Like we talked about, I'm going to leave a thing for Barzell in a minute, but like, you know, it's built in such a way that they expect to maximize these guys' talents, right? They don't have an Artemi Panarin. They don't have a Sam Reinhart or an Austin Matthews. They don't have like a 50 goal guy on the team, but they're built in such a way that the idea is that you can still win with guys like that if they're all pulling in the rope in the same way and they're all following the same, you know, structure, and they can make it work. And when they don't, they're going to lose, A, number one, and B, they're not going to get any breaks because they're just not trying. Like, they're just not making anything happen. And so you take they outshot the Devils. Hopefully this season puts to bed the deserve to win-o-meter. I don't know what site this comes from. I don't know if it's Money Puck or whatever it is. Can we please not ever see this ever again? Because that chart is clearly bullshit. Because the Islanders deserve to win all these games that they just never win. And so I don't care that they're getting all these shots on net, because frankly, they're worthless. Again, Ryan Pulock taking that 98 mile an hour slap shot from the parking lot outside of UBS Arena. He's like literally in the center of Belmont Park racetrack taking a shot. Okay, well then the goalie sees it the whole way and he stops it. So who cares? Like Pierre Engvall just shooting wide doesn't mean anything. Like, I don't understand why this is a thing. Here's another guy who's been useless out there. But it's like, they're not designed to make luck and get good bounces, and they just don't. And if you look at the Rangers, who, again, as you've eloquently said, start out every game with a 2-0 lead, it's like they're not built that way. They're just built differently, you know? And they're not going to start every game with a 2-0. If anything, they're going to start every game down 2-0. And the idea is that they can scrap their way back into it, but this team just doesn't. The old team used to, but this team just simply doesn't. Here's a quote, by the way, from Kyle Palmieri. This is from Andrew Gross's Twitter account. He said, tonight, this is against the Devils game, he said, that wasn't a good game from us. I don't think we challenged their D enough, their goalie. It was just kind of a shitty game and a shitty result for us. Yeah, Kyle, it was pretty shitty. We've had a whole season of shitty games and shitty results from you guys all season long. So I don't want to hear that this game against the Devils was shitty, because it was shitty. Guess who's watched all those other shitty games? Us. Like, where was this for those other games? This is the first time somebody's actually said, we played shitty. We've been saying it every week on this podcast, and our friends on their podcast, and our friends, you know, replying to this podcast. You're right. That was shitty. Like, what the hell? That, you know, this is the closest we've come to some accountability we've seen all year. And it's just, it comes in a game here, right, where, you know, again, guys are slamming into each other. I don't know if Lee's going to get suspended. Didn't look too malicious, but if he did, whatever. Like, what are you going to do? Like, fine, suspend him, whatever. He sure came right back. So didn't seem to hurt him all that much. And again, Ilya Sorokin, 26 saves, not great. Kokkonen made 37. But again, how many of them were hard? How many of those saves were like, wow, what a save? He just kind of got in front of it and stopped. It was probably the easiest shutout he's ever had in his career. But it was just absolutely terrible. I mean, you weren't there, thank God. Neither of us were there. But like, the people that were there, I'm sure, probably left. Like, why would you stay to watch this? Yeah, I don't know. Anything left to say about this stupid thing?
The stuff about after the game, like, it doesn't matter what they say after anymore, because, like, right, that Patrick Roy after that Senators game, and with it being, and then that weekend where they lost the Senators and the Rangers back to back. He came out after both games, was like, yeah, not very good, and we got to be better and all this. And those are the games that they're supposed to respond to. Like when a coach calls you out, especially a new coach, and not just a new coach, like this isn't, you know, Dean Blashill calling out Jim Blashill, whatever his name is, calling out his team that he just like walked into. This isn't Mike Yeo saying, you know, I expect better. This is Patrick Roy being like, you guys suck tonight. And and even that doesn't elicit a response. Nope. And we've talked about the lack of response all year. The Islanders now they seem to be working on stuff at all times, because there's so much stuff that they need to work on. So in the beginning of the year is the blown leads, and there was the defense, and then it was the penalty kill, and then it was the second periods, then it was preventing, you know, from one goal turning into three goals. Again, like none of it's improved.
No.
Like when,
no.
when teams, good teams are like, yeah, like we got to do a better job about closing out a game. The next game, like they do it. Or, yeah, we need to improve our power play. We need to improve our penalty kill. You hear the good teams talk about that. Oh, the Avalanche will be like, yeah, like we're making too many, you know, too many giveaways. The next game, they're crisp. Like they're all on the same page. I think the Islanders on the game, I guess it was the game against the Senators or the Sabres, where, you know, just one goal turned into four or three or whatever. I think Matt Martin was like, yeah, just because a team scores one doesn't mean they should get three. Right. Like, I think that was a quote. Maybe yeah. I don't know what game it was.
I think it was Wah who said that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Whoever it was, like someone says it.
Right.
The Islanders since then, it's happened basically every game, like even the Jets much. Game, like they were up 6-1. And so you can give them an excuse. But still, like the Red Wings game, which I mean, I cannot wait to talk about that game. It's crazy that it's taken this long to get into that. But that's how bad and pathetic today was that, you know, they talk about this stuff like, oh, we need to be better at that. And they just aren't. They just aren't. The Islanders, they've given up at least three goals in every one of these games since the winning streak. In every one. 3-4-4-5-4-6-3-4. Like, what the hell is going on? And I know, like, I don't even think it's worth getting into the Sorokin discourse. You could just you could so simply just say, yeah, he hasn't been as good as he was last year, and it's been and it's not helped. He was great in the first half of the season. He's not been great in the second half. That's fine. It's that you can just leave it just like that. There's no reason to go further than that. But like it's not just one person or thing that's going on. They have the worst penalty kill in the NHL. I think it's historic. Going to be end up being historically bad. They give up three goals at a clip. They can't shut teams down in the second period. They aren't scoring at all outside of the Jets game over their last seven. Eight games, right? They've lost 7 of 8. They've scored more than two goals three times in the last eight games. They've been shut out three times. So it's just as likely they get shut out than they score. They hit three. And this is, it's when you were talking about it, like everybody pulling the rope in the same direction. This season, they are. Everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction here. They're pulling it right. to a nice vacation. Come April, where me, you, and the rest of this lonely, sullen, pathetic, and I don't mean pathetic, you know what I mean? Like sad, pathetic, not you're pathetic. Like this fan base is now got to deal with a playoffs where their two biggest rivals, one of whom could win the President's Trophy, and the other one is, you know, going to be the third seed in the Atlantic. Like we're not going to Cabo. We're going to be hate watching. This isn't fun.
I don't plan on watching at all. I'll be blunt. I just plan on turning once this Islander season is done. I'm turning it off. I don't want to watch it. I have nothing to watch for. This team has killed my enjoyment of this sport. It's killed my enjoyment of themselves, for sure. It's killed my appreciation for a lot of the players on the team, which is sad. I do agree with you. I don't want, once this Lou Lamoriello era comes to an end, and for all we know, we might be in the final weeks of it because, you know, it's been pretty bad. I want to do a full, you know, kind of deep dive on the Lou era. And I definitely want to, you know, make sure that we recognize the good stuff because there was good stuff. It's not happening right now, but there was good stuff. But I don't plan on watching any of these playoffs because I don't want to see it. Like this team has absolutely broken me. I'll be honest. We'll get to the Red Wings game in a second because I don't even want to talk about the Jets game. Like to me, that's just it's just an odd.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the one that makes me the maddest. That Jets game makes me the maddest of all of them. And what's sad is it was a win after a loss that logically should have made me much more irate than that. Like that Red Wings game. Pathetic. Like it was. Come on.
Like they were fine for a period, and then again they just decided to stop playing, and so the puck just gets past Ryan Pulock. Kristen Fisher scores. Mike Riley answers. Great for him. But then
did anybody even celebrate that goal? Like
you get
gifted a goal like that. I feel like they were just like, oh man, that's tough because you know, it would have been a lot easier just to not have to fight back in a tie game. We could have just lost 5-0 and it was weird. It was weird because I watched that goal and I'm like, are they mad that they just scored?
It felt like they felt bad for James Reimer, who gave up a goal by the blue line, you know. So then they felt so bad that Andrew Kopp scores, like the puck rolls off of Sorokin's. He makes a great save. Puck rolls right to Andrew Kopp, who scores. Dylan Larkin jumps off the bench into the slot, lays into 3-1 Detroit. They're going crazy. It feels grim, you know. And then they started the third with a few chances. Of course, they don't score. So what does that mean? Kopp scores again. It's 4-1. Andrew Kopp scores 2 goals in a game. We'll get to this in a second. And then Kane from DeBrincat again on a 2-on-1. You know, the Islanders used to get 2-on-1s. Now they don't get 2-on-1s. The other team gets 2-on-1s. They score. Then they decide to score a bunch of goals to make it, you know, 5-3. But Larkin scores again. I had texted you before the game, watch Larkin get a hat trick. This is his first game back. He got 2 goals, so I was almost there. Sorokin made 19 saves in that game. The Islanders made James Reimer work with 33. But what difference does it make? It was their 6th straight loss. It was awful, and it was pathetic. Like and this was a national game. Like people were tuning in, and it just and the funny thing is, the Red Wings at that time pulled into a playoff spot. Okay, so I'm not gonna get mad at them for celebrating because it was a big deal for them. But look at this team. Look at the Devils. Look at the the Capitals, who are now in the final playoff spot in the East. Look at even the Penguins, who are, you know, it's 5 points behind the Islanders, 8 points behind the Red Wings. Look at the Sabres. All of these teams suck. Like, they're just the most mid, boring, plain Jane teams in the NHL. The Lightning would be there, but those guys all won cups. So, like, we'll give them a pass. And they've kind of taken hold of that 7th spot. But all of these teams must be looking at the other teams and being like, we couldn't beat these guys? Really? You know, so that's what makes that loss even more pathetic. I'm looking at that Red Wings roster and I'm like, well, I would be celebrating too if that was me, but like, come on. Really? Andrew Kopp has to score 2 goals? Where are the Islanders' stars, quote unquote stars? Why did they only show up for the final 5 minutes of the third period? Where are all of these guys that for a couple of years seem to want to will their team to win? They are all gone. They are MIA. They are back at the hotel. They're on the bus doing what they're nowhere to be found because we got to let guys like Andrew Kopp and Christian Fisher score goals for the Detroit Red and let James Reimer walk out with a huge victory for his 5th club in the last 6 years. Like, come on, really? It's awful. This season has just been so demoralizing and brutal. I can't even take it. That's another thing Pulmonary said after this Devils game. It was fucking brutal. Yeah, it was. It was. This whole season has been brutal, Kyle.
Yeah.
Sorry to tell you.
It's been torture and I don't understand how they haven't made that more clear.
Right.
But until today, it's been torture.
We said this last week, but if they're pissed off about this, hell if we know.
Yeah,
exactly. Sure as heck don't look like it.
and I think that's something to talk about in like a different way was like, I'm still scoreboard watching.
Right.
I watched the Red Wings play the Blue Jackets the night that the Islanders played the Hurricanes. And I had the pleasure of watching because I knew the Hurricanes game was over. So I flipped to the Red Wings game. I had the pleasure of watching Boone Jenner miss an empty net that I would say 80% of the time in the NHL goes in. And it was poetic because there's like 19 seconds left in the game. He takes a clear look at from the red line, from the center line at the empty net, misses it. And I had the thought to myself as I watched that the Red Wings touch that puck up for icing. Boy, another missed empty net coming back to bite the Islanders in this season would be poetic, especially because this missed empty net was by a player who doesn't play for the Islanders. And he wasn't playing against the Islanders.
Right.
And there you go. The Red Wings score. And my point is, I watched the Red Wings try. Like, the Red Wings tried in that game. I'm like, wow, this team wants to get back in it. Like, right. they got handed a gift that Boone Jenner misses an empty net, and they say, okay, like, we got to make them pay. And they did. And I can't think of any times this season where the Islanders have done that. It's like you said, it's almost like they feel bad when they catch a break. Mike Riley squirts one through Reimer from the blue line uncontested. Mm. Ah, we got to give that one back. We didn't deserve that one. And I've been watching a ton of the Capitals. Watching a ton of the Flyers. The second the puck drops in those games, those guys are just motoring. They're like a pack of wild animals flying around the ice, hitting anything that moves, fighting for loose pucks, fighting in front of the net for space, jamming away at rebounds, getting it to scrums. There's nothing performative about it. Like, it almost feels like the Islanders are cosplaying as the Islanders from 2021. Like, oh God, there's Anders Lee. He's a captain of this Islanders team that, you know, they'll punish you.
Right.
Matt Martin's here and Cal Clutterbuck and Cezekas. You don't want those guys chasing it down.
Lee's going to be in his office in front of the net. Meanwhile, he's off in the corner getting beaten on a puck in a battle with Jack Hughes, who's like 10 years younger than he is.
Yeah. It's so sad. And like, you watch these other teams, you're like, the Islanders are on paper. They're just better than them. Like, they are not the scrappy underdog in this race. They are the team that is choking away this opportunity. Because as you said, like, you go down this list of teams, it will never be easier than this to make the playoffs. It'll never be easier than this for the Islanders to make the playoffs. And they had every chance to do it. And in the course of 2 weeks, they've just blown it. And there's been so much talk about the Capitals' goal difference. I can't believe a team with a minus 30 goal difference is going to get into the playoffs. The Islanders have the same goal difference as the Capitals now.
Yeah.
Like, this is a team that has just been terrible all season. And I think brutal is the right word. I'm going to look back on this season. And so much of this show is like about legacy. And especially like when we talk on Weird Islanders, we talk about legacy and different seasons and what it was like to live through those seasons. This one is going to be hard. Like, when we do the Robert Bortuzzo Weird Islander episode or Julian Gauthier or whoever, and we just sit there and we have to think about the season again. It's going to be terrible, man. Like, people are like, oh man, this is why you don't choke away all those points early on in the year. And I'm starting to think, maybe they just did it. They just, you know, that's what bad teams do. Like, they didn't blow it. This is who they are. They came back in that Canadiens game and lost in regulation because they're a dumb, shitty team.
Yeah.
So, God, it's brutal. Like we keep saying, there's everywhere you look on this game log, there's rock bottoms. There was it's been like basically a rock bottom every week this season. So it's whether you can go right to the first week of the season when they start 2-0, everything looked hunky-dory, and then they blew that 8 leads against the Devils, and we should have known then about the penalty kill, because that was the game where the Devils I don't think they scored a 5-on-5 goal. They scored 5 goals, I think 4 of them on the power play, and then 1 3-on-3 in overtime. Like, this is there's been a rock bottom every week. So pathetic. I have a feeling that the team that's going to show up on Thursday night, is going to be an absolute corpse. Like, just go. You want to talk about go through the motions? Wait, you wait till Thursday night in Florida.
Yeah,
Sam Bennett might eat some of these guys alive. Because if you're not going to get up for that Red Wings game, which is essentially a playoff game, you're not going to get up and be sharp. And like, even if you lose that game, and it would suck to lose it 3-2 in a tough, hard fought loss. Like, you couldn't even muster that. You couldn't. Someone texted me right after that game, and I'm sorry, I forget who it was, but they were like, last year's team, which was so unremarkable, would have absolutely shit on both those teams on the ice tonight, the Red Wings and the Islanders. I was like, that's true. And then I thought, the fucking 2010-2011 team would have beat the Islanders last night.
Yeah.
Like, because they would be working hard. Like, Mike Halmo sucked, but he worked hard.
Yeah.
Like, there were, you could see Cale Mullerat scoring 2 goals against the Islanders. You could absolutely see just little pesky guys, Shane Prince or whoever, running circles around that team that showed up against the Red Wings. You could pick the shittiest Islander team you ever watched. Mm. Those guys worked. Like, this is the first team, I think, in even the 21-22 team, like, they busted their humps to, like, fight back against all the forces going against them and try to get themselves back into the race. This team, it does it. Like, they just wilt.
I was thinking of the 2013 team. Like Keith Acoin would score two goals against this Islanders team, you know? And it's like, and that team, again, took the first month off and then just scrambled like crazy to make the playoffs while getting Nabokov emptied his tank, you know? And it's just, that definitely, I mean, it's funny when you talk, we'll get to it eventually, but like, you know, when I think back to the last season and the season before, you know, last season was not fun. We did not have a good time, but eventually, ultimately, they got Bo Horvat. They put on, they made a real hard, strong push. They made the playoffs. They won, you know, they fought hard in that series, although they were overmatched and ended up losing on a really shitty goal in overtime. But like, you can't really complain. I mean, we complained a lot about it, but at the end of the day, you're like, you know, what are you going to do? The season before was obviously never on track because of the road trip and the COVID and all that stuff, but that brought us Zach Parise and Zdeno Chara, who I still look back fondly, despite the fact that, you know, it was hard to watch Chara at the end of his season. And you know, Parise ended up leaving after another year. So, but this season just is not enough. And, you know, we'd be remiss if we did not mention, speaking of the team that eliminated the Islanders last year, a game you may have already forgotten, on Tuesday, the Carolina Hurricanes, who were in town. On ESPN, we love watching Islanders games on ESPN because it was put on such a great show for the national audience. It was a 4-1 loss. They were down 3-0 in the first period. They were never in this one. It was very, very similar to today's game, except the only difference was somebody scored. Palmieri had a backhander off of Brock Nelson rebound in the third. Then the Hurricanes just took over, and Jake Guentzel scored an empty net goal, which, by the way, according to Eric Hornick, who I just saw a tweet now, the count is 19-2 in terms of empty net goals against and for. So like this, you know, again, that game, now they had lost 4 in a row going into that game. It's a national audience. It's a team in your division that is battling for first place. You got to end the losing streak. This is the team that eliminated you in the playoffs the year before. You've kind of had their number this year a little bit. They had, you know, the overtime game win against them earlier. And nothing, just absolutely nothing. Seth Jarvis had two goals, I mean, in the first period. Like, come on, you know? And no, was Sorokin good in this game? Frankly, no, he wasn't. But like, if you're working hard enough to prevent the shots and you're trying to keep the other team out of your zone, maybe you can do them a favor and, you know, eliminate some of those shots. But this team isn't interested. It's both depressing and disgusting, but also fascinating, because what happened to these guys? Like, what happened to them? I don't understand. Where'd they go? What happened? And don't give me the like, oh, they're older now. Yeah, okay, fine, they're older. Some of these guys are 27 years old. That's not old. How old is Ryan Pulick? Is Pulick 30 now? Like, okay, that's not old. Like, they're older. We're all 3 years older than we were in 2019 or 2021. I don't even know what year it is. Like, these guys aren't old. Yes, they're older, but they're not like older in the sense like, well, you know, what do you want from, you know, Adam Pellick, who's 39 years old? He's not 39 years old. He's 29. You know, like, I get it. They're a little bit older, but like, come on. Where did these guys go? Some of these guys are in the prime of their lives. I know. All right, fine. They're one of the older teams in the league. But like, if you remove Cizikas and Varlamov and Clutterbuck, they're pretty young. So still,
yeah,
Cizikas is 33. It's not that old. I want to know what happened. I want to know where those guys went. And I want to know what they think about this season. And don't give me that claptrap nonsense that they give us after every game. We're like, oh, you know, I liked our start and then it just got away from us. No, they should put, you know how they can win me back and really make me, you know, kind of feel better as a fan? Put the exit interviews on YouTube or on the team chat. I know they're not going to do that. Obviously, I'm just kind of kidding, but like, man, what would you give to watch those exit interviews? Watch Bo Horvat sit down with Patrick Waugh. And when Waugh goes, I don't know, man, what do you think of this season? And Bo just like lays into these guys. Like, well, this guy doesn't do his job. This guy didn't do this. This guy didn't. I was doing this. He was, I don't care if they're throwing everybody under 22 other buses. I want to know what happened. I want to know where those guys went, because this ain't those guys. Like, I don't know what else to say. You're right. The worst team they could play right now is the Florida Panthers. Maybe the Rangers are the second worst, but like, come on. I got to watch this now. Give me a break.
I'll make it kind of short on the actual game against Carolina. All you need to know about that game is Carolina's next two opponents.
Right.
Flyers, Capitals. Flyers tie it up in the third period, come back, fight tooth and nail to get a point in that game, lose in overtime. Capitals on Friday night, crazy game, back and forth. They go behind, they go ahead, they blow a lead, they tie it up. It's a wild game. 7-6 is the final score in favor of the Capitals in the shootout. So the Islanders showed up to that game and they cosplayed as the Islanders. Like, we're gonna, you know, I'm gonna show up because I'm Anders Lee, and I'm gonna, he's essentially should just wear the stripes of a referee, because he just shows up about a second after the play is over and is just separating people. But like they all cosplayed as the 2021 Islanders in that game, and basically said, yeah, we're going to convince ourselves that we worked hard and lost to the better team. And that's what they said. They're like, we had a good final 30 minutes. And I get that. I thought people were upset that Patrick Waugh was kind of soft on them afterwards.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought we deserved to win. He just ripped them. He just ripped them two games in a row, and they didn't respond to that. So I don't really buy into it. I didn't think they were very good in that game. They showed up to that game thinking, the Hurricanes are much better than us. We're supposed to lose this game, so we'll just lose it. And they did. They did have a good start as well. And then they had a power play that didn't go off. And a weird thing that never happens, that, you know, Islanders have a power play, kills all the momentum, and the Hurricanes score
pretty quickly. It's unreal. I mean, going back to today's Devils game, they had a 5-on-3, didn't do anything with it. And before you know it, the Devils have a 5-on-3 and they score. Yep. Like, you know.
Yeah. And so then the Hurricanes then fight in against teams that are actually hard to play against, and give points to teams that the Islanders are chasing. And frankly, those teams deserved it. And it was just, I mean, that was as soft as an Islander game I've seen. And one after another, where are these guys? Who are these guys? Where's the response? Because Anders Lee from 2019 would look at Anders Lee from 2024 and be like,
right,
disgusted.
Yeah.
Just disgusted. Like, this is not the trajectory you had for these guys. And there are still some players. Like, I think Cal Clutterbuck, you know, he goes out there and I think still gives like an honest effort, right? Like, he does.
I think Cizikas too, although he did take that penalty.
I think so. Like, there are guys that are going out. And, but then there's just others that you're just, who completely different from where you were a year ago. Like, this team, you were saying, like, where did these guys go from 3 years ago? No, where did they go from 1 year ago? Like, this team last year, without Matt Barzal and without J.G. Pageau, like, they were playing with Otto Koivula in like, must-win games, and Sam Bolduc in must-win games, and all like, Bo Horvat was essentially playing, like, first, third, and fourth line center for them.
Right and after getting off the plane. Like, he was he just showed up and was, like, getting triple shifted.
Yeah, exactly. And he wasn't scoring.
No.
And it's like, Bo Horvat was not scoring. The only offense this team was getting was from the Nelson Pierre Engvall, like, who was talismanic during his first couple months. And Palmieri, like, that line was going. And then Horvat would play with, Lee and whoever on the first line. I honestly can't even remember it. And then Parisi would play and the third line with, like, basically Horvat again and whoever, and the Fashing. Like, there was nothing to that. That team was terrible on paper compared to this one.
Right.
And they got in because they just worked their ass off. They worked really hard. They would have they'd have an occasional dud, like that Capitals game. They had a dud.
Yeah.
Then they responded. Like, this team is so far from even where they were a year ago in terms of just mentality and attitude, and
it's unreal.
It's bizarre. We saw so many people after that Winnipeg Jets game. From the Islanders have kind of been part of the conversation in the hockey world now because of the playoff race and whatever. And what we've suspected all along from these people is 100% true, is they think that the Islanders are still the 2021 Islanders too. Like, they think that the Islanders that are cosplaying as those Islanders are the actual Islanders, because they're like, this is such a weird team. Like, yeah, man, they are weird. You should have saw what they did in Montreal when Patrick Waugh showed up. Like, and that game, they let up three quick goals, fought back, tied the game up, and then passed it to the wrong team in their own zone with 2 minutes left. You want to talk about, that's a weird team. Yeah, we know. They're weird. You got John Shannon saying, oh, the Islanders would be a tough out in the playoffs. No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. The Athletic posted an article the day after they lost six in a row. Patrick Waugh has the Islanders back in the playoff race. What? It's almost as if they're looking at the Islanders standing from like 2019.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, the Islanders have 91 points and are just fought tooth and nail to make the most of a roster that is underwhelming in terms of star power. Yeah. What is going on? Like, where?
Right. Well, not to mention our friends Jeff and Elliot, who were like, Elliot has said in three of the last podcasts, it's shocking, Jeff. Shocking what's happened to the Islanders. Yeah, because you guys haven't watched them since 2021. Yeah. So it should be shocking. But yeah. I mean, we've said it weeks ago, and it's still true. They won a bunch, but it's still true. There's something rotten on this roster.
Yeah.
There's just something. I don't know if it's a person or an attitude or the walls, the paints on the walls at UBS in the locker room. I don't know what it is. Something is rotten. And they're going to play out this season. They're probably going to win a bunch more games. Maybe they'll even get within a point or two of the playoffs, but like, ultimately, this is not the same team that we rooted for last year, the year before.
Even last year. I think people are focusing, rightly so, on like the halcyon days.
Good times,
Yeah, right? Like, but last year, this team had a completely different attitude down the stretch. Like, you go back to like a year to the day, and we were, the entire fan base was scoreboard watching every night and whatever, but they would make it worth it. Now it's not. Like, I've sunk so much time into this team this season, so much time that you obviously can't get back. But like, I'm just thinking about even scoreboard watching, like 7 or 8 weeks ago, watching the Penguins play or the Devils or the Sabres or whoever. Like, it's insane how much time and effort. And it's not just me. Like, I'm talking to people and celebrating Philip Forsberg scoring a goal last night against the Red Wings, or 2 weeks ago celebrating, the Red Wings losing a big game. Whatever. Like, this isn't just people sinking time and effort into the Islanders and money going to games or watching the Islanders every night. It's this fan base has found ways to, feel immense pain when the Islanders are off for like 2 days. So.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they're like the Red Wings play the Capitals on Tuesday night, and I'm gonna find out from a Twitter account we should have shouted out a long, long time ago, which is the Isles Magic Number account, who always puts out rooting guides and all that stuff and does the math, and it's a very depressing account to look at right now because the magic number is 27 and the tragic number is 19, but where people are gonna be watching all this, these other teams and putting all this time and effort into it, listening to podcasts and watching or listening to like 32 Thoughts or the Jeff Marek Show. Think about how much time and effort you put into this hockey season and how little the Islanders have rewarded you for it.
Yeah. By the way, that game is 100% going to go to overtime and both teams are going to get points. Absolutely. Real quick before we take our break, I mean, I'm looking at the Islanders stats right now, and the first five guys on the list, scoring list, Barzal 73 points. I don't think this is updated with today's game, but they got shut out, so who cares? Barzal 73 points, Dobson 65, Horvat 63, Nelson 60, Palmieri 42. Barzal could end up, he's on pace for 80 points. Noah Dobson on pace for 70. Horvat, Nelson on pace for 70 probably each. Palmieri can get to 50. Those are good numbers. Like, on average, those are really, really good numbers. But this team is lacking in one very specific category, and I know people are going to roll their eyes when I say this, but it's just heart. It's just balls, just working, you know, just gumption, just an orneriness, whatever. Pick your you know, your choice of the, you know, inner strength, intestinal fortitude, as Gorilla Monsoon used to say. They're just missing something, and it's just gone. It's absolutely gone. And this team has not gotten big moments. It's gotten very, very small way too often this season. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about two unfortunate games coming up in Florida. But we're also going to talk about our live event on Saturday, which hopefully will be a more fun time than either of these two games. So meet us over there. Thanks. And now a word from our sponsors. First is VintageIceHockey.com, where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, jerseys, mugs, and more featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. Vintage Ice Hockey also carries our Al Arbor and the Island merch, and our portion of the sales always go directly to the Center for Dementia Research. Use the code ANXIETY20 to save 20% off an order of two items. That is VintageIceHockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. They offer a rosé, a Pinot Grigio, and a Pinot Noir that was named a 2022 Top 100 Best Buy by Wine Enthusiast magazine. All are delicious, priced at less than $15 a bottle, and available at local wine shops and at UBS Arena. Learn more at thepinotproject.com. Please drink responsibly.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So yeah, so the Islanders only have two games this week, and they're both in the state of Florida against the Panthers on Thursday. So they get 3 days off here. They're probably getting another game in hand or so by the time they do play the Panthers in Sunrise on Thursday. And then Saturday night in Tampa against the Lightning, again, the night of our live event we'll get to in a minute. They're most likely going to lose both of these games. Both of these teams have been on a roll. Sam Reinhart just scored his 50th goal tonight for the Panthers. Maybe they're better off losing both of these games. I don't know. I hate saying that, but you know, let's say they get a point out of it or whatever. We're now watching the Capitals. We're watching the Red Wings. We're even watching the Devils a little bit, who are only a point behind the Islanders. Like, what is even to be gained by getting points out of here? So let's pretend like they win both of these and they end up with 79 points. Well, that's what the Caps have right now. So if they win any one of their games that are coming up, they're just going to pull up further ahead of the Islanders. The Red Wings are at 78. So if they win that, let's say they beat the Caps outright on Tuesday, that'll give them 80 points and the Islanders will still be behind them with, you know, probably no games in hand. So I don't know, like what are we to make of these two games against two really, really good teams that are both going to the playoffs, where the Islanders won't be, which is probably for the best.
Yeah. Both those games, they frankly don't matter until, like, they don't matter at all unless the Islanders win, like, the game against the Flyers on the other side of the week. And then they win. Like, they have Florida, Tampa, Philly. I think that Philly game's what, Monday?
On Monday, so, and then they're at home against Chicago on
Chicago Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Right. They could come out and storm the Panthers and surprise everybody, and everyone would be like, oh, what a weird team again. Doesn't matter. They follow it up with another win against the Lightning. Doesn't matter, because all it would matter is if they can string four or five in a row. That's it. Like, they've lost 7 of 8. Like, they have to completely reverse that and win 7 of 8.
Yeah.
To have a chance here.
Yeah. Let me offer you this scenario. Right. Let's say they win one of these two games. Right. Let's say they win on Saturday. They give everybody at our live event at the Offside Tavern a big happy night, right? Let's say they beat the Flyers on Monday. Then their next two games are against Chicago, who is terrible, and Columbus, who's terrible. Let's say they win those two, okay? So they've won four in a row. things are looking good. Maybe they're a point behind the Caps or Red Wings to the final playoff spot. Do you know who the Islanders play on Saturday, April 6th?
I do. Oh, I do. And
please tell us.
A team that the Islanders have not beat in, I think it's up to 12 tries now.
Yeah, something like that.
The Barry Trotz's Nashville Predators, who are 15-0. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect example of a team that literally is just getting by and winning games on working hard and everybody buying into the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't lost since they traded for Anthony Beauvillier and Jason Zucker. So I don't think that they have done anything, but you're embedding two new players onto your team. And it's just like they get there and they're just like, oh, I got to just do this. And if I do this, the team, you know, gives the team a better chance to win. And then they win.
Right. A month ago, people were wondering if they were going to trade Juuse Saros to the Devils.
Right. Yeah.
Now they've won, 16 games in a row or whatever? Or they're unbeaten.
15-0-2 in their last 17. Yeah.
Like, it's one thing real quick. I've been seeing this take and it just really bugs me too. Like, again, getting back to Lou and Barry, we'll obviously talk a lot about the Nashville game when we get to it. We have a couple of weeks, but like, I can't believe there are people out there that are like, well, yeah, what do you want? Lou fired Barry. Lou fired Barry because Barry was burnt out on coaching and Barry wanted to get into management. That is why Lou, quote unquote, fired Barry. Lou did Barry a favor. Barry was done with coaching. He had a lot of shit going on in his personal life. His mom passing away and his daughter's getting married. He didn't have it in him to coach anymore. He wanted to get into management. As soon as he got fired, he moved back to Nashville and he hooked up with his friend of 15 years, David Poile. This was the man's plan the entire time. I don't think Barry Trotz is the type of guy to do stuff he doesn't feel like doing. So he's not into management because he just kind of fell into it. And, oh, here I am now, I guess because I got fired. He wanted to do this. So, yes, Lou was the man who fired Barry Trotz, but he did it for a reason. Like, Lou has a lot of faults, trust me. We'll get into them when the time is right. But let's be honest here, why we let Barry go. Like, you let Barry go because Barry didn't want to coach anymore. Like, and it's okay. I'm not saying that, like, you know, Barry's a bad guy. I get it. He was burnt out, and he had a lot going on, and he needed to clear his mind. And, by the way, he wanted to get back into magic. He could have gone to coach the Predators, I'm sure. Darryl Poile would have loved to have him, but with Poile leaving, Barry wanted to get into management. It all worked out for the best for everybody, for them particularly. Obviously, they're playing really well. So that's the thing I want to get out of there. But yeah, so my point anyway, getting back to why I asked that question, even if let's say they win six of these games in a row, let's say they go crazy in Florida and all of a sudden the summer sun in the Sunshine State just, you know, like Superman, it just gives them new life, right? The yellow sun gives them new life and they win six games in a row. They're the Predators. So what do you think is going to happen when they play the Predators? They're going to lose. Same thing that has been happening against the Predators since, 2017? I think was the last time they beat them. So, you know, but I don't expect them to win six games in a row. I don't expect them to win two of these games. Maybe they'll get lucky against Chicago, but don't forget, they did lose to the Blackhawks in overtime, which was the last game of the Lane Lambert era. Maybe they'll beat Columbus, but again, it's in Columbus, so they probably won't. Like, it's just, this is where I'm at right now. I can't imagine them winning any of these games.
Yeah, no, it just doesn't matter. Like, that's right.
Right. You either win four of these six or there's no point, you know? So.
Right. And even if they win four, like, they might need to do more than that. Like,
right.
this is why when people talk about like tearing it down or whatever, imagine a whole season of this, right? Mm. Like where we got meaningful games in March as a teenager. And an Islander fan. That's all I would say. You know, I'd say a prayer to the hockey gods before opening night. Just give me a meaningful game in March. I don't care how many. Just give me one or two. Mm. And like that's such a low bar, and I get it, but that's where it was at because that's what it was like being on a team that had no hope. and so just imagine this times starting in, you know, middle of November, if you're someone who's like clamoring for a complete, you know, rebuild, get rid of everybody, whatever. It's not fun. Like, it's not fun. Right. It's not going to be fun on Thursday night being like, I don't think I'm going to watch the Islanders because the game, frankly, they're going to lose. And even if they win, it doesn't matter. And it should matter because they're playing a good team. It doesn't matter unless they win on Saturday. And if they win on Saturday, that doesn't even matter unless they win on Monday. So,
right.
And also, like, other things outside of their control have to happen. So,
right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, some of those teams have to lose. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, no, we have it's all it's meaningless until proven meaningful, I guess. From now on, from this point on, and it stinks. Yeah. It's not fun. It's not fun to think like next how far, like October is an entire baseball season away.
My God,
that's a long time away, and it sucks to think that like these guys are gonna be like another year removed from their best days, and you know, we're getting to the end, of course, with some of them. It sucks that guys like Matt Martin, in all likelihood, he's going to be skating out his Islanders career in meaningless games against the Blackhawks and whoever. So, yeah, it's not fun. But they have nobody to blame but themselves. So they are finding, as Usher Matty was telling me earlier, he's just like, this team, every way that you can be bad, this team has kind of like has done that, right? Like they've had little bouts. They've had the bad special teams. They've been bad defensively. They've been they can't generate any offense lately. They've had mediocre goaltending. They make mistakes. They can't hold leads. They can't come back. Like every like fatal flaw that every team in the league has. Like the Islanders have waded into those waters. They're like, oh, we'll have a little bit of everything. On their way to mediocrity. So
the worst buffet you've ever been to, basically.
Yeah,
exactly.
it's been terrible. And it doesn't get any easier. It's not going to be made easier by the fact of, you know, the teams that are contenders around us and the rivals that are headed to the playoffs. We're not. So it's been a brutal season, and hopefully this truly is rock bottom, and from at least from here on in, it's not like as cruel.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't really want to get into it now, because again, we'll have plenty of time at some point after the season. But you know, the thing that gets me is so much of these guys are locked into long term contracts with no movement clauses and whatnot. Yeah. That's where I get really depressed. It's like it's like, oh, these guys suck now, but like, what are they? It's not impossible to move those guys. We've seen guys like that move and stuff, but it's going to be very, very difficult, whether it's Lou Lamoriello or somebody else.
There's a lot. I think a lot of fans are in a spot right now, and there's every reason to be that same spot. It's like this weird junction of misery, anger, hopelessness. Like that Venn diagram between all three of them as a sports fan. Like, you're right in the middle of it because of what you just said. Like, the Islanders, They've already done the double down on the double down on the double down. So now, if there isn't change, people are going to be so mad. So there has to be some sort of change, but the change is going to be hard to do. Like you said, these guys are locked in. So I think there's a lot of people who just don't think who think it might get worse before it gets better. And that's a really shitty place to be in. And it's one that we've been in a lot. As fans over the course of the past, two, three decades. And hopefully we're not back there, but I get it. Like, it's hard when things are going like this to not feel that way. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true, but you know, we will still be watching for sure. Okay. Enough about the current Islanders. We're going to get to our live event in a minute, but we do want to take a moment now to pay tribute to an Islander who left us last week, Chris Simon, who passed away at 52 earlier, right after we recorded our last podcast. It was a shocking piece of news to receive. Reports are that he died by suicide, which is always, always, always terrible. Chris Simon was a fighter, a power forward, a Stanley Cup champion, a trailblazer for First Nations community and players from that area, and a folk hero for a number of teams, including the Islanders. He spent 2 years as an Islander, coming over at the behest of Ted Nolan, who, again, he knew from First Nations community. And, he created a lot of fans while he was here from his incredible style of play. He was not afraid to throw hands, but he was not afraid to score goals either. I mean, his days of scoring, you know, I think he had 27 goals 1 year for the Caps. Those were over, but he could still score and he could still fight. And, you know, we love guys. We've been sitting here talking about how the Islanders have 23-24 don't seem to work very hard. Well, Chris Simon was all about hard work and made a lot of fans along the way. He had a couple of regrettable moments that led to a couple of suspensions. But overall, you know, I think he's a player that we look upon fondly. We did an episode of Weird Islanders on him with Mike's friend Eric Nidell. And, you know, we came away kind of fondly remembering this guy who didn't spend long here, but made an impression wherever he went. Fans in Calgary loved him. He was on their cup final team in 2004. Again, he wasn't there very long. But rest in peace, Chris Simon. This was a hard one to take, and it's still kind of shocking a week or so later to read about this. Do you have any thoughts on, I know you have a lot of thoughts because we did the episode on him, but what are your thoughts on Chris Simon and his passing, unfortunately?
Yeah, that was really sad, obviously. But the game that I always remember about Simon was one that we have a Weird Islanders episode coming up where we talk about a player from that 2006-07 team, and it's a game I talk about all the time on this show. And when we talk about that season, which was a 6-5 win over the Penguins in February, where the Penguins were coming in red hot. The Islanders were starting to wobble a bit. They needed to stabilize. And Simon had two goals in like a crazy 6-5 game. And him and Randy Robitaille and like Aaron Asham, like Victor Kozlov, they were all ridiculous in that game. And one thing I remember about Simon that Howie Rose, I don't know if you remember this, but Howie Rose used to talk about Aaron Asham's slap shot like all the time during Islanders broadcasts, and be like, and Simon too, like he'd always be like, he's got a heavy shot, and he did, but he had good hands, like he could play. Chris Simon did. And then that season, you know, was a lot of fun to have him on the team for. Obviously there was the Ryan Hallwig suspension as well, but nonetheless, like, he kind of brought this edge to them that the Islanders, I think, needed in that team, which was a team of mercenaries. And I feel like he was a perfect fit for that team. And he was also somebody who I could see on, like, the Islanders teams of, you know, like, all the overachieving teams, whether it was the 2013 team, whether it was the 2018-19 team. Like, you can almost see that kind of player working on those teams, and I think that just says a lot about like who he was as a leader in the room and the type of game he played. So yeah, definitely a player I remember fondly. Of course, it's just, yeah, it's pretty devastating stuff. So yeah, definitely check out that episode if you haven't yet on Weird Islanders with Eric. And because he was a complicated player and person, but those are kind of the people on Long Island as Islanders that we gravitate to almost the most.
Well said. So yes, Chris Simon, rest in peace. Once again, our first ever live event is this Saturday, March 30th at the beautiful brand new Offside Tavern right in the heart of New York City. The event is presented by Isles Meetups NYC. They've been great. They made that awesome poster that I've shared on social media. Looking forward to hanging out with those guys and all of you as well. We do want to see some folks wearing Weird Islanders gear, Weird Islanders swag, because we want to hear your stories for the season finale of the episode. So it's going to be recorded. We're going to start things at 4:00. So you can start coming around there, and we're going to start recording probably around 4:45 before the game starts, which is at 7:00. We'll end before the game begins. We're also going to have some raffles. So bring some cash. The money will go to the Islanders Children's Foundation, but we have some cool prizes from vintageicehockey.com, some from my own personal archives, and you never know what else. So be ready to have a lot of fun. We are, again, by the way, I should mention this too, like, you don't have to tell a Weird Islander story if you want to come. You can just come and have a good time. It'll be great to talk to people and meet and kind of, you know, put some faces to, I think, some folks who are patrons or follow us on Twitter or we've talked to over the years. So you don't have to tell a story if you don't want to. It's okay. You can just come and enjoy by all means. So we hope that a lot of people come and enjoy. And for those who do want to talk, I'm going to have some index cards there, and you can put your name on it. We're going to put them in a some sort of receptacle, and we'll pull a name out, and you know, people can come up and talk that way. Let's figure that's the easiest thing to do. So make sure you get there early enough to fill out a card and just you know, throw it in our basket. I have no idea what the receptacle is going to be. I'm going to have to find one, I guess. But yeah, it's looking like a good time. So again, 4 o'clock, Offside Tavern, New York City, Saturday, March 30th. It's going to be a great time, and it's going to be interesting. This is our first ever live event. Yes, it's a weird Islanders thing, but it's, you know, obviously an Islanders anxiety thing. And I don't know what to think. I'm very nervous. I don't know what to think. I mean, you have done this before. You. I don't know if you've just started listening to us recently. Mike is the founder of Francesicon. So this is not quite at Francesicon levels, obviously. But this is very exciting. Like, I don't really know what to make of this. And I just hope everybody has a good time. That's really what I just wanted to do. Also, I got a lot of shit to schlup over there from New Jersey, so that's also what I'm worried about. But how are you feeling about being a week away from our first live event?
I'm excited. Yeah, I think one thing I learned about Francesicon is for these kind of things, when you like worry about it, but you're a pretty good planner, so right away you don't have to worry, because all you have to do is just get there. And you'll realize the rest kind of takes care of itself if you are ahead of it. So, I'm really excited. This has been obviously a long time coming, and hopefully the first of many that we can do. It's been exciting to get to know people throughout the years and who listen to this podcast, and I'm talking to them in real life at games or whenever. As well. So yeah, excited to meet new people, and hopefully maybe they make some sort of weird push, but
yeah,
that's asking too much. I think that's just asking too much.
I think so too. I mean, I said it last week, I don't even care about the game. Like, I'm just coming to have fun, maybe have a beer or two, eat some food, and meet people and record a great episode. So if the Islanders win that game, great. I am not expecting them to. Maybe I'll leave after the first period, since the second period is usually where they they have a problem. But no, I'm just kidding. We'll probably, that might actually be when the raffles happen. But in any event, we hope to see a lot of you there. Again, Saturday, March 30th, Offside Tavern, starting at 4 o'clock. You guys can start coming in. And we're going to have a great time. If you can't make it, we are sorry to hear that. However, it's a big week for releases, particularly over at patreon.com/islandersanxiety. Obviously, we have this episode out now. We're going to be recording a Country Club Atmosphere episode tomorrow, which will come out on Tuesday. Those are our non-hockey podcast. That is for Country Club tier subscribers only at the Patreon. On Thursday, another Country Club tier exclusive is the next installment of My Islanders Book Club. Not a book about the Islanders specifically, but it does include a couple of Islanders and a topic that is always an exciting one to talk about in hockey, and I hope people really like it. Hope everybody likes the picture. Sometimes I think it looks cool, and sometimes I don't think it looks that good, but I'm going with it, so we'll see what happens. But that's on Thursday. And then on Friday, we have a brand new episode of Weird Islanders, the podcast, right ahead of the live event on Saturday. It is the episode recorded while Mike and his family were in Mexico. So it's just me and a guest, a great guest who's returning, and we kind of went on a little bit of a different direction. It's packed to the gills with Islanders trivia that you're not going to hear anywhere else. So it's a very different kind of episode, but I hope people really like it, even though it is Lebov free, sadly. We have another Lebov free episode coming up later on this season. That is also great, I promise. They both came out really good. I'm very happy about them. We do miss your energy, obviously. You had good reasons, so can't complain too much. Yeah. But that's on Friday. So that's about it.
The team has taken off. Yeah, what, 40 something?
Yeah, exactly. I think you've earned it, right? You've earned a trip to Mexico and getting sick. It's okay. I wish I had taken a few days off more during this season, to be honest with you.
I know. I keep thinking about that. Like, God, there were so many times where I was just like, I could just so easily not watch this game or this third period and go to bed. And I was saying to somebody the other day, like, I was watching the game against the Red Wings and doing that usual sitting around after the game ends and just silence, like nothing on the TV, or just sitting in your den or whatever. And I was just staring at the couch across, I was sitting on a seat, staring at the couch across the room, looking at and I remember I was watching the Ducks game on that couch, and I just had a huge smile on my face, turning the TV off early before that game ended, and like going to bed and being like, wow, the Islanders just won 6 in a row. They look like a shoo-in for the playoffs. Like, I need to completely revamp my outlook on the season and get ready for a playoff push and all that. And like, I saw myself 2 weeks ago and I was like, wow, if I could just warn them.
It's been that kind of season, like where you would go back back in time and warn yourself, dude, do not get attached to these guys.
Yeah.
Because they're going to hurt you. But that is what it is. And we see what next week brings. But between now and then, we will have had our live event. So hopefully we get some fun out of it. We'll obviously be back on Sunday at some point. It's Easter Sunday, so we'll find some time to record. But the plan right now is to record on Sunday evening and recap those two games and the event itself. So we hope it's a lot of fun for everybody. Again, sign up at patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Follow us on Twitter @IslesAnxietyPod. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and at Spotify. Our theme song is Morning Haze by Family Dinner. Listen to more of their music at Bandcamp and at Spotify. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. Islanders Anxiety Podcasts are part of the Fans First Sports Network. Find out more at fansfirstsports.com. Shop vintageicehockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. We will probably have prizes from both of them at the live event on Saturday. Mike, where can everybody find you on Twitter?
You can find me at the Big Lebowski with 2 E's.
Follow Mike at the Big Lebowski with 2 E's. Read and listen to his work, of course, at Action Network. Any final thoughts on this 1-3 week that just barely got us interested in this team again before pulling the rug out from under us one more time?
No, nothing too much, but I remember thinking before that Red Wings game, even though they had just lost to the Hurricanes and I knew they were going to lose to the Red Wings, I was thinking, like, you made it this far. You made it, whatever it was, 68 games by that point. It's been torture. You've had your soul yanked in every different direction by this team for 6 months now. And I didn't want to get my hopes up, but I allowed myself to look at that game as a massive playoff, you know, basically one game playoff against the Red Wings, because I deserved it, and the entire fan base deserved to let themselves kind of have that gigantic game and amp themselves up for what was should have been a huge game. Go through your rituals during the day for games like that and think about the game. So I allowed myself to do that. And I fear that will probably be the last time I get to do that until maybe next year this time. Yeah. So that's it.
You know, it certainly looks that way. So, I mean, yep. I can't discourage you from thinking that, but again, there's still 12 games left in this schedule. So, I mean, we still have a while to go for all this. And if the next 4 or 5 episodes sound like this, it's going to be pretty, pretty tough. Hopefully we get some good stuff to at least talk or laugh about before the end of the season. But we'll see. Right now, 2 games in Florida and a live event for us. And we'll see what we have to say on the other side. Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you later. And we hope together that we will see a lot of you at the live event, Offside Tavern, Saturday at 4:00. All right. Thanks then. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.